We speakers of English have a handy and simple system going for us. All you have to do in many cases is add er to a verb, and you end up with the person, the doer, of that which is being done. The person who thinks is a thinker. The person who listens is a listener. One who believes is a believer. So what do you call someone who prays? A prayer? P-R-A-Y-E-R is, of course, the spelling for the noun prayer. A P-R-A-Y-E-R is that which Christians address to their Heavenly Father, incorporating adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. But is that also the way to spell a person who prays? Yes, it turns out. A P-R-A-Y-E-R is, according to an online dictionary, also the one who prays. It's just pronounced a little differently. Prayer versus prayer. A little too tough to distinguish? Perhaps. So let's come up with a different way to refer to a Christian who prays. What can be said about a praying Christian? Well, for one thing, he or she is not someone who is trouble-free. As a matter of fact, many of the people in the Bible who model prayer for us are individuals who face some tremendously difficult, strenuous situations and challenges. Take your pick of familiar biblical figures. More likely than not, he or she is someone who found himself or herself in some very difficult positions. Noah, surrounded by an ungodly world. Joseph, sold into slavery by jealous brothers. Moses, seemingly on the brink of disaster as he stood on the shore of the Red Sea. David, first hunted by his own king and then hunted by his own son. The disciples of our Lord, tossed about by an angry sea. The list goes on and on. Those who properly pray face challenges, because those who properly pray are Christians. And Jesus said of his believers, "In the world you have trouble." What's more, sometimes situations develop for which no humanly conceivable solution was present. Moses facing an ocean, Daniel in the face of some hungry lions. But that doesn't mean that these people were without a course of action. What did David do? Prayed. What did Daniel do? Prayed. John, Peter, Paul, they all prayed. They knew what to do, and they knew when to do it. When did these familiar figures typically pray? First thing, consider Daniel by way of example. When he learned of the king's decree, which for him meant a death sentence, the first thing that he did was to pray. The heroes and heroines of faith demonstrated the principle which someone put into a very succinct form when forming the phrase, "Prayer should be our first resource, not our last resort." The tendency of our flesh, of course, is to flip those things around. By nature, we are inclined, when facing some kind of a difficult situation or challenge, to right off the bat engage our own intellect, somehow apply our own strength of one kind or another, get our friends involved. Those are all very valuable and useful resources. However, they should all come in a very distant second to the most important resource of all, that of prayer. This is something which is taught to us in various scripture passages, including Psalm 50, verse 15, where the Lord says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Because of his great mercy for us, the Lord has not left us helpless. Part of the wonderful package of being a Christian is that we have been given direct access to the very throne of God. By virtue of the fact that Jesus has cleansed us from our guilt, by virtue of the fact that the Lord has declared us righteous through faith in his Son, There is nothing to hinder us now from tapping into the greatest power source in existence, God. He's the one who made the sea. Parting it is no problem. He's the one who created lions. Keeping their mouths shut is not difficult for him. He can do anything, which is why he can extend to us the open invitation to call on him whatever the trouble happens to be and whenever we're in it. When does the Lord direct us to do that calling out? In the day of trouble. The Lord wants to be our first resource, not our last response, because he knows he can do much more for us than anyone else or anything else. He directs us to call upon him not the day after we find ourselves in some kind of a difficult situation, nor after we have exhausted every other possible option, but first thing, in the day of trouble. And why wouldn't we, considering the great promise that he has attached to that invitation? Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. God puts no may next to the use of his might. He's bound himself to help us. He will come through, even though it may not be at the time or in the way that we would prefer. This being October, the time of year when we typically direct some attention to Luther and the Reformation, listen to some of the thoughts which Luther had on this topic of prayer. After speaking about the way in which Joseph prayed for 13 years, he says, "If God had liberated Joseph, Jacob, his father, would no doubt have been glad, but Joseph would have remained a sheepherder. However, since the help was delayed so long, he became a lord over all Egypt, so that certainly no greater man can be found in Holy Scripture, no one who rose higher as world ruler than did Joseph. Thus, God still intends to deal with us. After he has denied us our petition for a long while and always said no, but we firmly cling to the yes, it shall finally be yes, and not no. For his word will not lie. Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. But our reason is highly offended at this delay and would gladly have God answer us promptly. So it is necessary not to be offended. Let our Lord God say no and suspend the answer of our petition for a year, 2 years, 3 years, or longer still. And let us only watch that hope and faith in his promise are not torn from our heart. Something will come of our prayer in the end, and God will give far more than we asked him to give. And the result of his giving? I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. In the Lord's great design of things, the earnest prayers of his people end up yielding praises of thanksgiving and adoration and praise in recognition of the fact that his answer is always the wisest, always the best course, even when it differs from our nearsighted view of how things should go. The church's pleas for help are ever blended with its songs of appreciation and thanksgiving in recognition of his wisdom and grace. The Christians who pray also praise. So, what should we call a Christian who prays? Technically, he or she is a prayer, but that's a little confusing with that other word, prayer. So, we can simply refer to a Christian who prays as wise, resourceful, successful, helped, delivered, and filled with the desire to glorify the one who promises to answer every Christian petition. So may the Holy Spirit see to it that the last time we prayed is not the last time that we pray, but that of all of our various resources, we ever and always make prayer the first. We may come to the King through Christ with large petitions, a point made in the hymn this morning, hymn 779, the first two stanzas. Hymn 779, stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you.
go with every care. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not turn away. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and mercy.